Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at
Welcome back in Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Maze, Marquise with you. Good to have you in here. Hour 3 on a Tuesday. A lot of college football will kick around here in the 8 o'clock hour as we welcome in Bill Conley from ESPN. Does a great job covering college football. Bill, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I was reading your piece a couple of days ago. I think it was late last week about, you know, the SEC needs to really scrap divisions. We need to see these rivals, you know, play each other more frequently than once every 7 to 8 years. I'm in total agreement. There's too many good matchups in this conference that we don't get on a year in and year out basis. But what was your Cliff Notes version as to why you've come to that conclusion?
Well, I think, you know, as I live in Columbia, Missouri, so I've gotten to kind of witness the SEC process as a whole, you know, and watching somebody trying to kind of get incorporated into that conference. And simple fact is LSU is going to play at Missouri once in Missouri's first 20 years in the SEC. And then, you know, when you got games like Florida Auburn last week where, you know, this is a rivalry that over the last 35 years or so has been one of the SEC's best. They haven't played since 2011. It's just when there's a better way. And you know, through over the years, I've played with the pods idea many times, and it makes more sense every single time I explore the idea and talk about the idea. When you've got a better way and you don't have to do it this way, and, you know, you don't have to go to 9 games. You don't have to do really anything too tremendously drastic. You just get rid of divisions, have everybody play more. You play 3 permanent rivals. You play 5 home and homes for the 2 years, and then the other 5 home and homes in 2 years. You played everybody twice in 4 years, and that sounds like an actual conference to me.
So I completely agree with you. I also think there's another way you can frame this that would be popular, and in my opinion, I am not pro expansion of the playoff. I am anti expansion of the playoff. I value excellence over access. I don't think, like Barry Alvarez, that everyone should get a trophy for participating. But I will say that if you are going to expand, which they will, and you're going to add automatic bids, which I think they will, both of which I disagree with, you have to then put as much value on the conference championship game as you possibly can.
Right.
And to get rid of divisions then allows you to put, like the Big 12, 1 versus 2 in the SEC into an SEC championship game. And to me, that's a side effect of what you're talking about here. And to me, maybe even more importantly, the rivalries are great, but to put the best 2 teams into a championship game every single December strikes me as the best solution to making the playoff as good as it can be.
Right. And one of the potential issues with, you know, a pod system, and that's what we always refer to this as, but getting rid of divisions is, there's a chance you have weird tiebreakers in a given year. You know, there's one of the year when you go back and I kind of simulated, so to speak, 2017, where you had Auburn beating Georgia and Alabama, all 3 finished 7-1. And what happens? You have to, Auburn gets in, but then you have to choose between Georgia and Alabama. They didn't play each other. So how do you do that? And so, you know, the most likely answer to that is you can either do some sort of like common foes kind of thing, but they whipped up on all their common foes. So you end up basically going to whatever their college football playoff ranking is at that point. And that's, you know, people would grumble about that, but there, you know, it is what it is. You probably have Alabama in the title game in that regard, and whatever. Georgia probably gets in anyway, anyway. So there are some awkward potential issues with that, but just the pluses drastically outweigh the minuses to me.
Bill, your latest piece on ESPN.com is why Florida is being overlooked so much. And obviously, one of the things you get into is from a gambling perspective for this game. You look at it, and Florida is about a 2-touchdown underdog this week at LSU. And I feel like all the novice gamblers are going to say, oh, wow, Florida looked so good last week against Auburn. You know, how can they be a 2-touchdown underdog? And everybody's going to jump on Florida because, in part, LSU has really been invisible since that Texas game. They've had a couple of, you know, either a bye or a layup cupcake game. That number is that high for a reason. Are you buying into Florida, or do you think LSU is going to separate themselves this week?
Well, I'm buying into both teams. I think I've said LSU is a top five team all year, and I've certainly been backed up. And one of those cupcake games was against a very good Utah State team, a very good Mountain West team, I should say, and they made them look like, you know, Southern Utah. So I think there's been LSU has done absolutely nothing but back up a top five resume at this point. And if they do blow out Florida, I think it says more about them than it says about Florida. Florida, it's been really funny this year. I think it's a combination of, you know, we all watched the Miami game, which was super sloppy, and we held that against Florida, even though Florida had 10 sacks and dominated the game defensively, and it was only close because of, Miami recovering every fumble somehow. We kind of held it against them that they were kind of a more messy team this year, even though part of that was by design, I think. We held it against them that they played two FCS teams, which was certainly a little scheduling quirk and whatnot, but they've been this good all year. They were as good as they were against Auburn. They've been basically that good all year. And if they recover one of four fumbles against Miami, they win that game by double digits too. They're a rock solid top 10 team. And I think, I trust them at this point, but it's just that LSU might have a number one ceiling, in all of FBS. And, you know, if they win this game easily, I think that's why.
And I think that's the reason I think people view Florida as a clear number seven, is that there's the top six in college football, and that Florida doesn't,
right.
Florida's missing something that puts them on that top tier. So let's talk about that top tier. Bill Connolly joining us here. Clemson, I feel like people are just, like, they don't recognize that Clemson's played maybe a tougher schedule than Oklahoma or Ohio State or some of these other teams. But I look at Clemson and I go, I'm just not sure why people are moving on so quickly from Clemson. Like one bad half of football against North Carolina, and all of a sudden, you know, we're going to move on from all that weaponry and talent. What is happening with Clemson amongst fans and the media? Why are we punting on them so quickly? I am not, by the way.
I think part of it is that so many other teams have looked awesome. You know, this is not an Alabama, Clemson, and everybody else kind of situation, at least not yet. It certainly could become that as the year goes on. But right now you've had LSU playing at title caliber football. You've had Ohio State, you know, those plucky upstarts from Ohio looking really good. Even Wisconsin, you know, they, aside from, like you said, a bad half basically against Northwestern, they've been what maybe one of the two or three most dominant teams. So I think part of it is just that. It's that this has been a more wide open field than maybe we expected, and people are leaning into that. The other thing is Clemson hasn't really looked all that great this year. I mean, we know that Clemson does this. We know that the goal is to basically be in fifth gear in November. And so, you know, we've seen them on many occasions kind of stumble through, almost wait till they get an upset or a near upset to really kind of shift into fourth or fifth gear. And they've certainly done that. The passing game has not been anywhere near as good as we thought it was going to be. They are kind of getting judged against their own standards, against how good they looked at the end of last year, but they aren't that good yet. And at the very least, we know that they have to improve. They probably will. They have before, but they really haven't looked like one of the two or three best teams in the country so far. If you take the, you know, last year's resume off the table, they probably wouldn't be number two in the country right now.
Bill, a lot of people around the country, especially Kirk Herbstreit, love Ohio State right now as the number one team in college football. Just been a machine all season. J.K. Dobbins, second in the country in rushing. It looks like Ryan Day has just picked up right where Urban Meyer has left off, maybe even better than some expected.
Yep.
Do you have a strong case for Ohio State as number one right now?
Yeah, I mean, again, if you take all preconceived notions off the table, if Wisconsin isn't the most dominant team in the country so far in 2019, Ohio State is, and Ohio State didn't flirt around with losing to Northwestern, so they probably are number one in that regard. They really, using my FP Plus rankings, I like to lean on those for context sometimes. They played four top 40 teams already. Cincinnati's 38th, Indiana's 28th, Nebraska's 39th, and Michigan State's 18th. They played four top 40 teams. beat them by 42, 41, 41, and 24 points. They are a machine right now. And, you know, we'll see. Like, we finally saw Justin Fields look uncomfortable for a little bit in the first half against Michigan State. We'll see if other teams can now build off of that, kind of put together a how to beat Justin Fields kind of, you know, portfolio, so to speak. They have to play Wisconsin. They have to play Penn State. Michigan still got a defense, I guess. Maybe. We'll see. So there are plenty of challenges, but there's no question that they've looked like the best team so far this year.
Georgia, Alabama, LSU. Go.
Oh, I mean, I always take Alabama. I'm almost always right to do so. So right now I would say Alabama, LSU, Georgia. But Georgia's still really, really close. All three of those have a top five case right now.
Bill, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. You can read Bill Connelly's work at ESPN.com and, of course, the author of the 50 Best College Football Teams of All Time. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
You got it.
And Bill's not going to admit it publicly, but Tennessee's just a little bit behind those three. Like it's Alabama, LSU, Georgia, and then just right behind Tennessee Volunteers right there. I do want to add, I think his Missouri Tigers, by the way, have been absolutely dominant.
Should be 5-0.
Since they lost week one to Wyoming, they will be a fascinating case study should they get through some big games. They've beaten Florida 2 years in a row. They have not lost in November since 2016. Missouri is a dangerous team. Looks like Kelly Bryant's going to be healthy. He avoided a serious leg injury. That Missouri team has been very, very good. I wonder what the committee does when the first rankings come out and they look at a Missouri team who's dominated everybody except for this one weird first weekend loss where they had to go to Laramie, Wyoming and play the Cowboys in some random game that no one should ever schedule. I wonder about the Missouri Tigers. That there's something they are not out of this whole thing yet. We're all looking at Florida and Georgia in the East. Don't just completely discount the Missouri Tigers.
College football playoff rankings will be coming out in just a matter of a couple of weeks. We will give our first installment of Top 4 Tuesday in our college football playoff coming up at 8:30. But when we come back, we'll continue on with the conversation about why these teams in the SEC can go so long without playing. That's next here on Morning Drive. All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Top 4 Tuesday coming up at 8:30 this morning. Weekly winners, your chance to play Silly Underdogs to get a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville sporting event or concert. Hit up thegamenashville.com or play on the ESPN Game Nashville mobile app today. Silly Underdog picks sponsored by the Volunteer Hose and Gasket. You guys know how it works. You pick three college underdogs that you think will win this weekend straight up, outright. Don't even need the points. Just get the outright victory, and you're on your way. Are we on our way, maybe, at some point, someday, to no divisions in the conference we care about?
I hope so, and I hope it's the case in every conference, Big Ten, ACC. I'm on board with Nick Saban. Let's make it a 10-game conference schedule. I'd be fine with that. I got no problem. Gus Malzahn, I think, is on board with that as well. They're the only two coaches, I think, in the SEC. I know Kirk Ferentz at Iowa is on board with a 10-game conference schedule. The Big Ten already plays 9. You know, the Pac-12 plays 9. The Big 12 obviously plays 9. I just think there's two things here. Bill Connolly's take on this is mainly driven towards rivalries. Why is it that LSU will play one game at Missouri in 20 years? That's a problem. You're not in the same conference, basically, at that point, right? You're in a different world if you're going to play one time in 20 years. Missouri and LSU could schedule a home-and-home faster than that. So that is a problem. Florida and Auburn should be playing more often than you know, once every 12 years in the other person's stadium. You should be playing more often than that. A way to solve that problem is to get rid of divisions, put them all into the same division. The other thing that does is it may add value to your championship game. And my biggest concern, and the Big Ten has dealt with this for years, that the East is so much more top-heavy than the Big Ten West. When Northwestern is winning it, Wisconsin at 8-5 is winning it, and you're going against Penn State and Michigan and Ohio State, and they're, you know, teams competing for playoffs, you know, you have this imbalance in the title game. Look at the ACC. You have a 6-6 Pittsburgh team against the national champion Clemson Tigers. Mm-hmm. That's not a balanced conference. So to me, I want 1-2 to play in the conference title game. And what that does is it adds the most possible value to that game you can. And then I'd be okay with automatic bids. But I would not be okay with automatic bids if 6-6 Pittsburgh is one really good game away from clinching a playoff spot. I don't want you to be able to be mediocre during the course of your regular season, and then you have one great performance and you've earned your way into the playoff. I think that's garbage. That's everything that's the opposite of what college football stands for, which is excellence. You have to be perfect.
But I wonder, you know, how many 6-6 or just above 500 teams have won, you know, have just on that fateful day in the championship game have won. You know, if the number says it's high, then no, I don't want an automatic bid because anything can happen. You know, based upon the numbers, anything can happen in college football. But I think for the most part, you know, it's true to form. The better team will win in a championship game. If you have a team, you know, that comes in barely over 500 and they're playing, you know, a 12-0 Alabama or, you know, a 12-0 Clemson or 12-0 Ohio State, then more than likely that 12-0 team will win.
Right, so but I want it to be zero. I want the percentage chance that team can win is zero.
I would love to see.
That's what I want.
No, because what happens is no, what just, I because it brings more drama to the game. It tells me that if you get an automatic bid, because that's what college basketball is, you get an automatic bid.
Conference tournament.
If you get an automatic bid, to me, that means you got to come in and play your A game. You got to come in, and it can't be no, you know, we're coming in, we're because you know if you lose that game, you're not automatically in the playoff. That team that beats you can automatically get in the playoff.
But forget about the playoff for a second, though. Just from a scheduling standpoint, like I'm with you. Florida Auburn should happen more frequently. I don't need to see LSU Missouri because there's not that history of a rivalry so much. I know they're in the same conference now. But if you're in a 14-team conference, mm-hmm. you're one of 14. So you're looking at it and say, okay, you know, we could play these other 13 teams. Well, you've got SEC games you got to schedule. Non-conference Power 5, Cupcake. I mean, there's only so many games you can schedule, so you're going to omit certain things, right?
You would get rid of the mandatory non-conference Power 5 game. Like, if you increased your conference schedule from 8 to 9 or from 9 to 10 even, you wouldn't make people play another Power 5 opponent. They'd probably all play two Cupcakes and go about their business. But it would allow for more SEC games to take place more often. That's the key. My issue, Derek, with the championship game is I don't want to take the regular season and eliminate all that you've done and put all of the weight and gravity on one singular game, because that's not what college football is about. College football is about who is the best team over the 12 games that gets into the playoff. And to me, what I think adds drama to the game is making it the first and second best teams. The Big 12 does it the best. Mm-hmm. The Big 12 takes 1 and 2, and they put them in their championship game, and they say, you know what? You want to make the playoff? Go win that game. Mm-hmm. And then it's basically an automatic bid if the Big 12 can get in. Like Oklahoma beat Texas after they lost to Texas in the regular season last year, and they got into the playoff. What I don't want to see is an 8-4 team, because, again, we had Northwestern last year in the Big Ten title game, who lost to Akron. In the non-conference, that game should eliminate you from the playoff. I don't want you to be one game away if you weren't that great in the regular season. I think that's ruining the quote automatic bid. And the automatic bid, again, I think is going to come at some point when they expand. I'm against all of that. But if you're going to do it, you need to put as much weight on the championship game as possible. And the only way to do that is to make it as good as possible and to give two teams that are the best in your league a chance to compete for that automatic.
But a division's only a bad thing when one of the divisions is really bad.
Yeah, like it's worked out for the SEC with Georgia and Alabama and Georgia and Auburn the last 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's worked out.
But there were years where Missouri won the East, and we were like, whoa, the West is way better than the East.
Yes, but I think Missouri was 11-1 in one of those games. So if you're 11-1 and you could earn your way into the playoff, then I don't have a problem with that. You know, the ACC is one of the worst examples because they always have it's like Florida State in 2013 versus Georgia Tech. Or, you know, Clemson versus, now North Carolina was pretty good that year, but, you know, Duke played in the ACC championship game. Virginia could be worthy this year and play in the ACC championship game. But we've had teams that just are, again, like Northwestern last year in the Big Ten, I think was 8-4 when they played Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, you know, like, but that's not good enough. Like, I don't want that team to have played a mediocre regular season over a 12-week period of time, 8-4, and then to be one game away from earning and stealing a playoff spot from another team that is far more deserving of that. That's my problem.
But doesn't it works that way anyway? Because if you have a team, you can lose your spot in the playoff if you lose your championship game. And you could still be the best team in the country. You could still be one of the top four teams in the country, a top three team in the country. But this just so happened on that fateful day, You end up losing that game. Does that mean you're still not one of the better, one of the top four teams in the country? No, it doesn't. But that can eliminate you from the playoff, if indeed. It all depends on what conference you're in.
And if you lose, I'm fine with that costing you a trip to the playoff, but it should cost you a trip to the playoff against an elite team.
What if you're still one of the top four? What if you're still one of the best? You've beaten everybody. You've blown them out. You even beat the top 10 teams.
Right.
And then you lose that fateful game. That can then put you out of the playoff.
That's not – see, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with an elite team, you know, failing in a big spot. I'm okay with a great team losing – and that costs them a chance at the playoff. I'm okay with that. What I don't like is an 8-team playoff with seven elite teams and then one team that doesn't belong there because they won one game. I want to eliminate an 8-4 team making the playoff. I don't even want a chance at a 9-3 team making the playoff.
Well, if they expand, that's the way it's going
to
be.
Right, and that's what my response then to the expansion is, all right, well, if you're going to do that and you're going to add automatic bids to college football, which I think is dumb, but if you're going to do it, because I think it'll happen, if you do that, then you need to make the championship game in every conference as powerful as it can be. And that's my issue, is I want to make sure it's the best two teams in every conference playing in that conference title game, if in fact you're going to put that much weight. Because let's be honest what a championship game is. A championship game was created by Roy Kramer in the SEC to make money. It wasn't created to have the best champion or to create the truest champion like the Big 12 would tell you, one true champion. It was about making money. So conference title games are totally ridiculous. Like, you could play in a conference like we did for 100 years, and whoever had the best record at the end of the year was the champion. But instead, we decided to make money and added a championship game in 92 and split the divisions. And it's been great. It's been successful. But if you're now going to put more weight and gravity on that championship game by making it an automatic bid to the playoff, I don't want to see any crap teams in there. I don't want to see 6-6 or 7-5 or 8-4. I want to see the best of the best in those games so that we don't have a bunch of crap teams sneaking into our playoff, because the whole point of the college football playoff is that only 4% of the teams get in, right? It's not the NBA where half the teams in the sport get in. This is college football. Four teams out of 130 get in. Let's keep it that way.
615-737-1025. Kenny is next on Morning Drive. What's up, Kenny?
Yeah, to Derek's suggestion a mediocre team doesn't usually win. That's true. It doesn't usually win. But a mediocre team does win. And that happens all the time in the NCAA basketball tournament. But the thing is that when Prairie View wins, catches on fire and wins, they don't immediately get put into the Final Four. They drop out in the round of 64. And what you're talking about is you get some mediocre team that is the seventh best team in the Big Ten suddenly playing for the national championship. I don't want to see that. I don't think it's true to what the national championship is supposed to be, and it would be boring and embarrassing.
Well, and you can go down the list. Like, Ohio State last year lost to Purdue, right? 6-6 Purdue. The year Clemson won the national title, they lost to a 4-8 Syracuse team in the regular season. You know, Michigan State made the playoff, and that year they lost to 5-7 Nebraska. So the teams that make the playoff still generally lose a game somewhere along the way that they shouldn't. What I don't want to happen is for that game to be in a conference title game and for there to an automatic bid be on the line. That's all. I don't have a problem with teams losing in the championship game, and, you know, that costs you a championship. I'm cool with that. I just want it to come against a high-level opponent who also deserves to be playing for the national title. And Georgia and Alabama have largely given us that in the SEC. You know, it was Georgia and Auburn 2 years ago. So, I mean, if you look at the SEC championship game, you know, 08, Florida, Alabama, the winner went to the national title game, right? 09, Florida, Alabama, again, winner went to the national title game. You know, 2012, Georgia and Alabama, winner was going to probably win the national title. So it's largely worked out in the SEC. I just don't want it to, like, South Carolina also made the championship game 1 year as like a 8-4 team, I think, right, under Spurrier, and they got beat by Alabama, I believe, correct?
Yep.
Like, that's the team I don't want to have even a chance to make the playoff, because you went 8-4. You already proved that you don't belong in the playoff.
But what if it's one of those teams, and I know we got to go quickly to break, but what if it's one of those teams where, you know, they've played four or five top 20 teams or top 25 teams, and they've – out of the four, they've won two and lost two. And then they get in the championship and they win.
To me, 10-2 is okay. I might be okay with 10-2.
Their schedule has said it was a tough schedule.
Yeah, no, and your that situation is totally valid. Uh-huh. But if you're 10-2 and you've played one of the toughest schedules in America, like Georgia last year finished 11-2, they've played one of the toughest schedules. I would be fine with Georgia getting. I think two losses is fine. Mm-hmm. It's when you get to 3-4 that you start to say, there's just no way you're a national champion. There's no way you're one of the best 4 or 6 or 8 teams if you've lost 3 or 4 times. I just don't think that you can make that case. 10-2, okay. You know, you played a tough schedule. You lost to 2 good teams. I could see that.
Coming up next, it is our first installment of Top 4 Tuesday. We will give you our 4-team college football playoff as it stands today. That's next here on Morning Drive. All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our top four coming up in just a moment. Let's get one more college football call in here, 737-1025. Shane is next on Morning Drive. What's up, Shane?
Hey, not much. I disagree completely with what's been said there. Would you really rather have an arbitrary group of people setting people in, or would you rather play it out on the field? If you don't win your championship game, you don't deserve to be there. It's one game. In this, I'll give you an analogy. You would have, in the basketball tournament 2 years ago, you would have had a extra game in there for whenever Virginia, who was the best team, lost in the first round of the NCAA, round of 64 or 68 or whatever you want to call it. You would have given them another chance.
No.
They had their chance. It was on the field, and you should win your championship game. And play it out on the field rather than having a group of people in a room make those decisions. It's your own fault if you don't win that championship game.
Well, no, I think we all agree on that. And no, yeah. that's not what we're saying. Virginia lost in the tournament.
Yeah.
So if you lose in the tournament, you're done.
Yeah.
We're not suggesting that somebody should. It's not a double. It's not college baseball. You don't get
college basketball is just different from football.
This isn't double elimination. What we're saying is that you should win it on the field. In the regular season, those 12 games you play in the regular season, I don't know if people know this, but they happen on a field. And when you play games on a field in the regular season, you have to be near perfect to get into the playoff. It's what makes college football different than every other sport. You have 65 Power 5 teams. There's no possible way that they can all schedule equally. There's no possible way to evaluate them all against each other because it's not the NFL where every schedule's the same and your record's all that matters. You know, college basketball, I don't know if you know this, but it's a group of people in a room picking 68 teams.
Yeah.
So, like, it's the same thing. I just, what I don't want is, I'm fine with automatic bids if you're going to make the path to the automatic bid as worthy as possible. Just make the winning that automatic bid, I want you to be a worthy champion, basically, if you're going to get into the playoff. And yes, I think 13 people in a room do an excellent job picking teams. Conference championships mean absolutely nothing. Now, if you add weight to the conference title game, it makes them more valuable to me. But what did Alabama do 3 years ago? 2 years ago, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even win their division. They were the best team in America. They won the national championship. Didn't even win their division. That's all you need to hear. You are not, because you win your division or your championship, doesn't make you one of the best teams in America. And Alabama proved that to us by winning the national title after not winning its division 2 years ago.
All right, so let's get to Top 4 Tuesday. We will do this each and every Tuesday at 8:30 moving forward for the duration of the college football season. This is our first installment, but let's set some parameters here on how we are. We all going to go about this the same way? Are we doing it based off of resume right now? Who do you think's the better team on a neutral field? How are we formulating this?
I think and beauty sort of in the eye of the beholder, but the charge that we have given the committee is to rank the best 4 teams in America. That's their job. It's, you can kind of interpret that how you want, but right there in the committee line, it says who are the best 4 teams in college football. Now, there's a lot of room for interpretation in that.
Okay.
So.
I will lead it off. I think this is very difficult because I think you're going to leave out 2 teams that legitimately have a case, but at this point, I'm going to go Alabama 1, I'm going to go Georgia 2 based off of what I saw against Notre Dame. Pretty much suffocating Notre Dame. I'll go LSU 3 based off of the win against Texas on the road. And I'm going to go Ohio State 4. Bill Conley said with us 30 minutes ago they've beaten 4 of his top 40 teams, and they've done so in convincing fashion. So at this very moment, I don't have Clemson in, although it's very difficult to exclude Clemson because I think push comes to shove, neutral field, they're as good as anybody. And I would leave Oklahoma on the outside as well.
The only one that I don't consider is Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma is the only one that I sort of like. They're sixth and out of the six for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like
same here.
Pretty clearly to me. Otherwise, I think you can argue any order.
Yeah.
Any order is fine. But if you ask me, and this sort of goes to your question, Nick, like to me, it's if my entire life savings is on the line and I've got to win a game on a neutral field right now today, who do I think is, quote, better, right? And Alabama would be number one for me because I would pick Alabama to go to battle with right now. Number two would be Clemson. They have not played as well as the other teams, but they've also played a tougher schedule than LSU. They've played a tougher schedule than Georgia. They've played a tougher schedule than Oklahoma. They've even played a tougher schedule than Alabama and have been largely dominant outside of the North Carolina game. I just think if you're telling me to go to battle with a team right now, who's better? I'll take Clemson at two. This is where I get really... this is where it's really hard. I can't decide between LSU, Georgia, and Ohio State. I will go with Georgia 3 because I've seen them do it. I've seen Kirby Smart do it. I've seen Jake Fromm do it. They've done it against Alabama and played well. They've also beaten Notre Dame this year. LSU has the best win in all of America at Texas. I'd like to know what happens in the Florida game before I make this pick, but I'll go LSU 4. So I will leave Ohio State out, which I totally realize seems kind of crazy because – Ohio State has been dominant, so I'll go. That's my order. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, LSU.
I'm going O-State 1. I think O-State's strength of schedule thus far, they've basically dismantled everybody, and it doesn't seem like it's going to change. That defensive front is awesome. That defense is where it needs to be. Offensively, they got playmakers across the board. Justin Fields is playing lights out right now, run pass. And I think Day has done a really good job at just, you know, taking what Urban Meyer had and just he's taking it and run. There hasn't been any, like, setback whatsoever. Actually, they've gotten better on defense.
Significantly better.
Exactly. So I'm putting O-State 1. I got Alabama at 2. I got LSU at 3. And right now, only right now, I got Wisconsin at 4. Georgia would be.
You know they'd get
Clemson.
Run out of the building, though.
No, this is based on right now from what I've seen. I got Wisconsin at 4. Next week, it could be something totally different. Georgia's at 5 for me. Clemson's at 6. Oklahoma's at 7.
So you think if Wisconsin and Clemson played right now,
this is not about. No, this is not about if they play right now. Because I think Alabama would.
You're saying who's O-State looked
would,
better?
Through. Exactly. But Wisconsin, I think O-State would be probably. I think right now O-State would beat Alabama. But do I think they would beat Alabama?
What's so weird?
A good game from now, probably not.
I got no problem with that. The problem is Wisconsin has looked far worse passing the football than Clemson.
This is not about. But they look really good playing defense.
They have. They're number one in the nation in defensive efficiency. They've played a very weak schedule. And
they dismantled Michigan.
They did. That's their one game. Clemson dismantled Texas A&M, and that was a better win, I think, potentially.
Nah, Texas A&M is
my point is
I'm taking it from what I've seen.
Right.
Again,
Jack Cohn is not a good quarterback for Wisconsin.
Again, this has nothing to do with their quarterbacks because I think Tua's better than Justin Fields.
So you're basing it off of accomplishments so far, not so much if they played on a neutral field.
This has nothing to do with neutral field play. This is based on what I've seen the last 4 or 5 games. To me, O-State's 1, Alabama's 2.
Yeah, I'm almost at a point where...
I don't have a problem with that, by the way.
I kind of hate the fact that I have Ohio State in over Clemson.
Uh-huh.
Because I trust Dabo and Trevor more right now based on previous body of work than I do Justin Day and Ryan Fields.
And that too.
But all those guys.
But that's my reason for not having Ohio State. Now, the other thing is I had them in this order since the beginning of the year. I haven't moved this order. And LSU just dominated Utah State at home, a very good Utah State team. And Georgia just dominated Tennessee on the road. So it's like, how can I move Ohio State up if the two teams ahead of them play just as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to – there's no reason to drop LSU or anybody. My issue with Wisconsin in particular, again, and this is sort of the issue of the committee discussion in general, what is the committee's role? What are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to look at just what you've accomplished to date?
Mm-hmm.
And or is it how you've accomplished it? Because Wisconsin scored 10 points against Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't good against Northwestern. They needed 2 defensive touchdowns to win that game. That's just as bad as North Carolina beating or Clemson playing poorly against North Carolina. So, again, if you're asking who's played better, you can make a case for both. But if you line them up and said, which one's the better football team, I don't think anyone can make the case that Wisconsin is the, quote, better football
team. No, I'm
team.
Not saying they
tell
are.
Me, tell so, me if you so, think I'm you crazy know. With this one. You're Wisconsin. You might not like this, but I actually think on a neutral field, Penn State would beat Wisconsin.
I would have Penn State. I would have Wisconsin behind Penn State for sure.
I don't think Penn State would
I like Penn State's team speed.
The difference with Penn
State, athletes.
Penn State puts dudes in space. And say what you want about James Franklin and making mistakes at the end of games. He's done that before. But when he had a dude here at Vanderbilt, he fed him the football. Jordan Matthews fed him the football. Zach Stacy fed him the football. And what he does at Penn State is he gets KJ Hamler in space. He gets these dudes in space running around. Sean Clifford beat out Tommy Stevens for a reason. Tommy Stevens transferred to Mississippi State for a reason. Penn State has gotten better and better and better as the season has gone on. I don't trust Wisconsin's athletes in space to hang with Penn State. It'd be a great game, but I would pick Penn State right now.
You surprised that Wisconsin can't get a better quarterback? They always have this just, you know, mediocre game manager. Like, all they do is bring in the Alex Hornibrooks of the world.
Well, so they had Russell Wilson for 1 year, and it was the best year probably ever in the history of Wisconsin quarterbacking. Now, their backup right now is a true freshman five-star recruit. So they got, you talk about bringing in a difference maker. They believe that Graham Mertz is a difference maker. He's in the same mold as all these freshmen that are playing right now, right? Like, you know, look around the country and you look at all these true freshmen that are playing. Jaden Daniels at Arizona State and Bo Nix at Auburn and he Ryan Helinski at South Carolina. He's ranked amongst those guys at Wisconsin, but he hasn't been good enough to take the job. And meanwhile, Jack Cohn goes like 12 of 17 for 112 yards every game. And you're going, that ain't going to beat Ohio State. Like, that ain't going to beat Clemson. That ain't going to beat Penn State. You're going to have to be better than that in the passing game. That's why Auburn just lost to Florida, is because Bo Nix wasn't good enough to sort of carry the moment passing the football, and he's going to grow into that eventually. But you got to have a super quarterback to win this year in the playoffs, because this is where college football is now. It's not just one game that you have to win now. You have to win three straight games to win a national title, a conference championship game against a high-level foe, and then two games. You have to beat Clemson and Alabama in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
And that's it. That is a hard ask for almost anybody else in college football.
I try not to be a big an SEC apologist, but sometimes, man, the Big Ten, and I know it's your conference, but Sparty and Iowa and Wisconsin, oh, it's just so boring to watch.
Wow. I mean,
Jonathan Taylor's a stud, man.
I mean, boring football, it is what it is. And you're not going to see, you see points scored, but then you say, well, a lot of points are being scored because they're playing, you know, Indiana or someone else. But when you go against a top-ranked defense, you're not going to get – I mean, points are not going to be scored no matter what the deal is. And then, you know, up north, you know, weather is a factor in a lot of this. Toward the end of the year, it starts to get cold.
And a lot of excuses over there,
Derek. And everything else. But, I mean – I don't look at it as boring football to me.
I mean, Ohio State ain't nothing boring about Ohio State.
I just think
it's just the
brand of football they play, and there are points scored on both sides, but the assumption is, oh, it's boring football.
See, I think that's what makes Penn State different. Penn State's different than Michigan even. And you guys know I love Harbaugh, but Harbaugh doesn't get his guys in space with the ball. You know who does? Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State gets their athletes in space running around. And I will say this, though. Auburn and Florida wasn't exactly an offensive showcase this weekend. The difference is the atmosphere and the crowd and the level of defensive performance and the coaching. Like, Auburn and Florida wasn't a pretty football game offensively, but it felt – you know what it felt like? It felt like 1997 SEC football. And that's sort of what Iowa-Michigan felt like this weekend, too, right? 10-3. Felt like 1997, you know, Big Ten football. So – Two games that were sort of throwbacks this weekend.
Coming up next, we will stick to sports here on Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, big final hour coming up as we will get back to all the Titans news of the day over the last 24 hours, as well as our buddy Chris Mason will join us coming up at 9:30 tonight, 9:30 this morning. The Preds tonight as they take on the San Jose Sharks. 7 o'clock puck drop here on 102.5 The Game. But first, we must stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
Basically.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
All right, Mace, S2S is BTYB.
Brought to you by Decorated Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den when you're ready to decorate your home, office, outdoor spaces. Request a complimentary appointment, which is free in this country. All right. Stick with decoratedin.com.
I see what you did there.
Number one.
All right. So another edition of Stick to Sports Update. Now, you guys weren't here for this one. This is when it was me, D-Mace, and Corey Curtis. D-Mace, do you know there's a round two of Shaq and Damian Lillard?
Oh, no, it's
DJ
not.
Diesel?
DJ Diesel versus Dame Dollar in a rap battle. So you two are gone. So basically, I played the first two, like a little snippet of the first two diss records between Damian Lillard and Shaq. Me and D-Mace disagreed on, I think Dame Dollar got him on that. But
oh, wait. So which side were you on, D-Mace?
I was on Shaq's side.
Of course.
Yeah, I was on Shaq.
I thought Diesel's hype videos came when he first launched his Twitter account were pretty were pretty dope.
Well, so I guess it took Shaq a while to respond, but he finally responded with his diss record he calls Second Round Knockout. Let's just listen to a little snippet of this smoke that Shaq sends out to Damian Lillard.
Put some respect on my name. Put some respect on my game. Put some respect on these flames. I'm the big LeBron James. You can never come close to the GOAT. Barely make it every year. Cry, complain about them all-star votes. See, you got the millennial fool. How you rep Oakland? Nowhere to an alley, the cap of this fool. Think I really care if we speak? You just mad because your whole salary, yo, I'm making a week. You're losing, Damon. We can see it so blatant. Dr. O'Neal operating on the patient. You know I got a PhD. Now Stanford put his down. You nothing but a scrub to me. We can keep this going. Keep on flowing. Shaq is worldwide. Dame Dollar don't know her. But you think I wasn't going to respond? Dropping little grenades. I'm dropping them nuclear bombs. Everybody going to hear this ether. I don't like your
See, I don't know why.
I love that he throws a ripping on Barkley.
You see, I don't think it's fair that he just threw out Charles Barkley's name like that.
But that's promotion. That's promotion for a show.
Yeah, that's promoting TNT. Yeah.
That's the best damn show on television with sports.
Oh,
right now.
Oh man, Shaq. So Damian Lillard, obviously being the lyricist that he is, had to respond to Shaquille O'Neal, and here is the smoke that Damian Lillard sends out to Shaquille O'Neal.
He's a clout chaser, even after all the success. Fake love on the camera, he capping all at the desk. Ghost riders on deck, checker bars, no chest. Hell in front of landed a muscle cars. No flex, you not a rapper. You comedy, commentary, and actor. Feed him with a slingshot, you better call the pastor. David and Goliath, your stature's a non-factor. Friends really love you, they scatter and contact you. Like, Shaq, just let it be, cause no weapons gon' ever prosper. Remember, you're a cop with endorsements and you're a doctor. I'ma get the Tommy and do the Diesel like Proctor. And your weight rising, you might get sing at the opera. You tell the world prepare for a harder fall on the pavement. Then I put you under, today I'm working the grave shift. Raised real solid, I'm dollar, but not for dollar sign. Only Dame you beat was 2000 and that was Stoudemire.
Fire!
Shaq is better.
Shaq is way better.
Yeah, Shaq killed him, man.
It's a better beat. It's better everything.
They're going to keep it going.
I hope they do. And this is why I love the NBA.
But you
want to
know why they're doing it? Because we're all suckers.
Yeah, well, I love it.
I'm a sucker for this.
You know who wins? The two of them.
Oh,
right?
I love it. Shaq killed him, though.
I'm with Dion.
And the rap beef, Shaq.
Put it on the board for the Diesel.
Yeah.
Diesel.
Three votes for DJ Diesel. Yeah.
I guess, man. All right, whatever.
See, these young millennials, you know, they look at Damian Lillard.
Shaq said, he said the millennial food. He got the millennials' food.
Shaq basically predicted what you would do.
Exactly.
Shaq has nursery rhymes, man. It's just not.
He's got rings is what he's got.
But here's the thing, though. With Shaq, like, look, you make your money, but, I mean, is he not just the biggest product you know what on the planet? He'll promote anything.
Oh, yeah. Shaq will promote anything.
He is a product you know what.
He's pushing pizza now, right?
Yeah.
Papa John's.
He owns part of it. Well, he owns a portion of it. I mean, listen, Shaq is just being a business
man. Icy hot. He is unbelievable.
He is quickly entering territory where you ask me, hey, you can play golf with four people on the planet. Who's it going to be? Shaq is quickly entering the conversation with, like, Bill Murray and Obama. Like, I'd hang out with Shaq anytime just to hear what he talks about.
I love Shaq, man,
you want to play golf? What do you want to do?
I'm
Shaq Diesel.
I just think that, again, they're both playing all of us, I feel like. What I'm saying? Could you see them both just on a phone call? Like, Shaq calls was like, hey, what's up, Dame? And they're let's do some rap tracks here and let's fight each other
and sell
some records.
Adam Silver has to love this because it distracts us from what's going on with the Rockets and that, you know, that comment the owner made about China. And
quote, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong.
pretty much it just it distracts us from all of that because he wants the focus to be on the NBA. That's a way to get the focus on the NBA.
Right.
Have one of your legends go after a young buck like Damian
Lillard. Although Damian's been around a little bit now and keeps losing in the second round, right? Or third? Did they make it to the third round this year?
They're around.
No, they made it to the conference finals.
Yeah,
and that was because it was kind of by default, right? We knew the Rockets was the real game, the real series, right?
Yeah,
Warriors
yeah.
Rockets in the second round was really.
And that's
the
why
real
you
one.
Win regular season games, though. That's the point.
I guess that's true. That's a good point.
Number two.
All right, so there's a guy that got arrested, and I'm gonna tell you why. A Texas man gets arrested for robbing a bank because he couldn't pay for his wedding. So basically, he robbed a bank that was 500 feet away from the sheriff's office, which I don't know why you do that in the first place. And so he basically told the cops that he basically stated that getting married tomorrow, so didn't have enough money for the wedding ring and wanted to buy what I needed for the wedding venue. So I decided to rob a bank. And then he was on the run for a while. And then his fiance told him to turn himself in after he showed his picture all on the news of him robbing this bank because I don't feel like. And first, I thought that the fathers of the wives were supposed to pay for weddings. That's what I've always assumed.
It depends on how old you are. I think generally the older you get, the more you just pay for it yourself. You know, I got married at 33, and we paid for a big chunk of it. I don't know. I think, if there's a way to avoid spending time with your wife right out of the gate, that's how you can do it. Go right
to
prison.
This is what you do. To avoid all of that stuff and putting yourself in debt and all the other stuff, just get a few friends, go somewhere,
destination,
absolutely, and get married, and you're on your honeymoon while you're getting married, and you spend less money and you have more fun.
You want to trim the fat on a wedding budget? Destination wedding.
Exactly. Do it.
2 seconds, it'll cut
then
you
won't have to rob a bank.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
All right, we got anything else?
I mean, we ain't got enough time. We're out of time.
All right. Coming up next.
I had to listen to that fire, Shaq and Damian Lillard. That's what took most of the time.
I was watching, I was on DJ Diesel like 3 weeks ago, man. I felt like an early adapter. He was out there pushing it on Twitter when he had like 500 followers. I was like, who's this DJ Diesel guy? oh, it's Shaq. Okay. Cool.
It was another Shaq account.
Final hour coming up. We've got our buddy Chris Mason at 9:30. We're going to get back to the Tennessee Titans when we come back. They made a roster move yesterday that was mandatory. We'll discuss it next on Morning Drive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.